Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
It costs $80 billion a year. It's insurance fraud, and you're paying the price. Higher insurance rates, higher crime rates committed to collect insurance, and the list goes on. Here to discuss it is Jim Quiggle, who's the communications director of the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. This is a nonprofit organization that is on the forefront of fighting insurance fraud. And every year, they identify the worst actors in the bunch. And I'm telling you, the list will curl your hair. It is incredible what people do and how they try to defraud insurance companies. Jim, put it in perspective. I said $80 billion, but that just is money. People lose their lives because of this. Am I right?
Oh, yes. Insurance fraud is so big. If you laid those dollar bills, 80 billion of them back to back, you could go to the moon and back about 14 times.
Good Lord.
This is one of the largest crimes in America. The cost in human, people are maimed permanently by bad medical treatment for insurance claims. They're exposed to despair and depression. Their life savings are stolen. Sometimes they're even killed in life insurance schemes. So this is more than just a little lightweight crime. This is a very serious crime that has very serious impact on people all over the U.S.
And you all have a coalition of people, and I'm proud to say that Call for Action is part of that. We're delighted to be working with you on this because it's a very valid fight. It's something that's going to benefit all of us. But you all are a nonprofit organization, and you look at the crimes that have been committed because you have a lot of insurance companies that you partner with, and then you come up with the worst actors. Is that how you do your hall of shame?
We monitor the internet. We talk with our members. We talk with investigators around the country. We pretty much blanket the landscape and come up with the worst of the worst. Some of these people are also just plain knuckleheaded. The stuff they do almost makes you want to laugh in some cases. In other cases, they really want make you want to cry.
Yeah, I mean, I can't. I've been sitting reading some of this stuff. I mean, it really astonishes me at what people will do to collect insurance money. Well, let's talk about some of these. I don't want to call them notable. Let's call them infamous or disgusting or whatever. For example, now, one of the things that you and I have discussed in the past, and I'm so glad to have you back on the show and doing this on the Hall of Shame, but one of the things that we've talked in the past about these fake car crashes. Now, you have a report. One of those rings is on your Hall of Shame this year. Tell us about that, Jim.
This was a monster ring, a true Goliath among insurance scams. The largest no-fault insurance scam in U.S. history, $279 million in fake claims for car crashes that were either set up or never happened at all. The insurance companies were being soaked throughout New York as a result of these claims. It's one of the reasons that drivers in New York pay some of the highest auto premiums in the country.
Well, now, who investigated this and who discovered it? How did that come about?
You know, law enforcement and insurance companies and state regulators and even the feds all combine for these investigations. It really takes a team effort. No one entity can do it alone, but you combine these forces and it becomes a force multiplier that can break open even the most tightly run ring, which this one was.
So this guy would stage these car accidents. Was he in cahoots with doctors? And I remember talking about some of these fake crashes in the past where there were doctors that were involved in it who would file fake claims for whiplash, et cetera, et cetera. Was that part of the ring?
Sure, surely everybody was on the take in this scam. Corrupt doctors were involved who knowingly made false injury claims to insurance companies. Corrupt lawyers were involved. They were helping force insurance companies to settle. There were paid recruiters who were bringing in people off the streets, usually from the Russian emigre community, to act as fake drivers and passengers in these set-up wrecks. It really was a team effort all around.
So you got him, and he's in jail?
Oh, boy, is he in jail. he got nailed with 25 years in federal prison. So that's a long time to think about what he did wrong.
Oh, boy. I hope a lot of his partners in crime also got sent to the slammer, did they?
Surely the whole ring was dismantled, and these people have been pleading guilty. They face jail sentences. Some of them have been turning and flipping on the ringleaders and turning them in. So the whole ring basically has been decimated.
Now, Jim, if our listeners want to see this and read in more detail about these, they can go to your website. Tell us what that is, please.
For all the fraud news and all the scams that you want to hear about, go to www.insurancefraud.org. That's insurancefraud.org.
Okay, and it's good. It's good information. It really is. You and I have known each other for more years than I care to think about. You think you're making an impact? It's certainly making an impact when you cut down, when you all and the law enforcement ended this crash ring. So that's, consumers should rejoice in that news, but you know, unfortunately, Jim, somebody else is going to spring up to do it, isn't it? Then there was a guy who blew up his neighborhood, right?
This is
funny, but it's not funny.
I wish I could laugh, but I can't because there was so much tragedy involved. Bob Leonard and his half-brother, Mark Leonard, they rigged a microwave to trigger gas lines that they opened inside the home. All they wanted to do was get a little fire going, burn down the home, and get a few $100,000. Instead, the fumes blew up with the force of a drone strike. They destroyed the house, leveled the house next door, incinerated the two occupants, a young woman and her husband. They were burned alive. Much of the neighborhood was leveled, millions of dollars in damage. People were traumatized, post-traumatic stress syndrome. Kids couldn't sleep. Adults couldn't go to work. They were so traumatized. This was a terrible, terrible thing to do.
My Lord, did it hurt them?
Well, what's going to hurt them is that they're in jail.
Well, they're in jail, but
we're talking life sentences without parole.
Oh, my God, that is incredible. Well, no wonder they kill people. I mean, that's horrible.
You know, they avoided getting hurt because they did this from remote. The timer on the microwave was rigged to trigger from a distance while they were off somewhere else. So they stayed out of the mess. They even, you know, took their dog and put it in a kennel the night before, removed certain family possessions. It was all set up very nicely.
Good Lord. That is incredible. I mean, truthfully, wow. I hope no one's listening and gets an idea to do this again.
Shirley, welcome to my world.
Yeah, I hear you. My gosh, that is incredible. Well, let me just take a pause here to let our listeners know that they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker, and my guest is Jim Quiggle. He is the communications director for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. It's a group that is out there fighting against insurance fraud, this $80 billion a year industry, if you want to call it that, and that's only the money part of it, as Jim has said. It's costing people their lives as well. And we're talking about their recent nominations to their Hall of Shame. I love the name of that, Jim. It's just great. So let's look at the cheater and the partner swap scam. I tell you, I can't believe what these people do.
Oh, we're talking about the case of the lawless libido.
Yep.
These people were trapped in a partner swap workers' comp fraud. John Smiley and his wife were having fun at a sex swingers club in San Francisco. They got into an argument with the other couple they'd been playing with, and so the other guy shot Smiley outside after they left. Smiley was left a paraplegic, so he tried to make this his injury and all the expenses seem like a work scam. How did he do that? Well, he said that he lied, actually, that a former inmate who had a grudge saw him and shot him on the streets. Gee, he thought this would allow him to start collecting workers' comp money. That fell apart very quickly when investigators started looking into the details.
Good Lord. And so did they end up in jail?
Well, John Smiley's X-rated exploits did put him into jail. So he's going to have a little bit of time to think about why his libido got out of control as much as his temper and his insurance claims.
Good Lord. Are you sometimes astonished at what people do, Jim? I sit here and I read these things and I'm going, I can't believe this. I know you didn't make it up, and I know it's true, but oh my God, I can't believe what people come up with.
Well, every day you see cases that make you think, gee, they did that? What were they thinking? But just when you think you've seen it all, you've seen something that's even bigger and crazier than before.
Well, let's talk about the deer. Oh, dear.
Well, a mob associate in Philadelphia ran a body shop. He wanted to fake a
literally ran a body shop.
A deer body shop. He had his hunter friends give him deer parts and deer blood that he stashed in his body shop, and then he'd bring cars in and set up the deer parts and grass and mud all over the cars to make it look like they collided with deer. Then they took pictures that they called Hollywood photos that they submitted to auto insurers for inflated claims.
Oh, my God. I cannot believe this. How were they found out?
Well, eventually tipsters turned on them, and also insurance companies started looking at the details, and the car damage just didn't add up. It didn't look like the kind of damage that a deer would have done. It didn't make sense at all. What was crazy, though, they even took other cars separate from the deer parts and bashed them with sledgehammers in the body shop to increase the damage.
Good God.
This is a $5 million goring of insurance companies.
Oh, my Lord.
With deer parts and with sledgehammers.
God, that is... yeah. Well, these things that you and I are talking about, and I think the one where the guy blows up his neighborhood has got to be one of the worst things I've ever heard. But do these, the ones that you all have nominated this year, how do they compare to past years?
Oh, this class, the no class of 2016 ranks right up there with the best or the worst of them, depending on your perspective.
And we say the worst of them. This is not a good thing to be at the top of this list. I will tell you that.
Or the bottom either.
Or the bottom, exactly. Nowhere on this list do we want to be. Well, then there's the guy who had the wound to his leg. I mean, really?
Oh, goodness. Well, Shannon Eglin thought he'd pull a fast one on his insurance company. He made up this crazy story that he stopped to help a pregnant woman who was stranded on a roadside late one night. He claimed it was an ambush, that somebody snuck up and shotgunned him in the legs, shattering his legs, and the guy even lost his foot.
Good Lord.
And he claimed this, he made an insurance claim. Well, it turned out that he had his son shoot him in the legs with a 12-gauge shotgun in order to set up this disability claim. And, of course, it didn't fly. None of the facts added up at all because, you know, they couldn't find the woman. The details sort of fell apart when investigators tried to reconstruct the whole scam. So the guy ends up with a sentence. His leg bones are crushed. He lost a lot of blood. He doesn't have a left foot. So that's the price he paid for trying to pull a fast one.
I hope he's in jail.
He's in jail. And I tell you, one thing that didn't make sense, and investigators were very smart, the attack had no logic or motive. I mean, his wallet was still left behind, so was the cell phone. And if these were crooks trying to rob him, why did they leave his fancy BMW behind? None of this added up.
I wonder who he stole or robbed from to get the BMW.
good question.
I'm telling you.
Maybe his car dealer.
Maybe somebody ought to start looking at where that BMW came from. It just astonishes me that people will even injure themselves to collect money from an insurance company.
Surely,
they've got, you know, they're not only greedy, but they're dumb.
Well, they're not very clear in their thinking. We've had cases where people have cut off fingers, cut off hands, and other body parts to try to scam their insurance company for disability money.
Oh, my Lord. It does astonish me, I tell you, Jim. And then there is the case of the man who murdered the infant for $750,000 life insurance?
Oh, this was so tragic. It just breaks my heart even to think about this case. Because, you know, Musa Sissoko really seemed to be caring about his kid. You know, his wife had their child out of wedlock. He left school, college in Florida to come up and help raise the family. It seemed like responsible parenting, except all along he secretly bought a $750,000 life policy on an infant, which makes no sense at all.
Nope.
And so little Shane, it was just an infant, just a few months old, and Sissoko, his dad, shook him to death. Basically, his head was rattled back and forth. His head was quietly bludgeoned, and there was not much injury trauma that was obvious, but just enough to kill the poor little guy and make him the father think he could collect $750,000.
Good Lord, that man is totally mentally off. I mean, really and truly, he lived in Silver Spring, right?
Yep, he was a D.C. suburbanite.
Oh, my God, I hate to think about my neighbors. We'll come back to this. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He is the Communications Director for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. And we're just discussing some of the horrendous insurance fraud cases that they have nominated to the Hall of Shame. So back to this child. So this guy apparently loves the child, comes back to be with the mother, takes out an insurance policy, and then murders the kid the next day.
I have to say,
as horrendous as what he did, he's also dumber than dirt.
Well, anyone who thinks they can buy a $750,000 life policy on a newborn and get away with killing the child is got to be thinking very, very wrongly.
This is really incredible. When I read this, I just sat there. It made me want to cry to think of that little innocent child and that horrible man. I hope he's in prison for the rest of his life.
This is when insurance fraud becomes more than a money stealing. This is when it becomes a true human tragedy that just makes your blood boil to even think about it.
And he's in prison.
Oh, he's in prison, 50 years in federal prison.
Hope he never sees the light of day. Anybody who would do that. But then there was another case of a girl who was starved to death.
Oh, Mikhaila Norman was such a tragedy. She was this lovely little teenager with these beautiful, sparkly brown eyes, but she had cerebral palsy. So she was permanently in her bed. She couldn't move and barely even speak. Her caregiver, who was supposed to be with her 8 hours a day, barely even showed up. You know, she would, you know, walk in, do a little bit of duty, and then leave. Sometimes she left little Mikhaila there all day for 6 days a week. Meanwhile, the poor little girl was completely neglected. She was starving to death. She was never washed. She had bed sores and lice in her hair. And the little girl literally starved to death in her bed at age 14.
Well, now, what happened? Where were the parents?
Well, that's a good question. The mother, it was a mother in the household, and she was in prison too. But really, the bulk of the scam fell to the caregiver, who was billing Medicaid for all this care that she was never even giving.
Oh my goodness! And the father, I was not in the picture.
The father was not in the picture.
Oh, good Lord. Anybody could be so inhumane. And this little girl weighed 24 pounds when she died?
Actually, it's 28 pounds, which is a virtual skeleton.
Oh, my gracious. Oh, that just makes me sick. It really does. You know, these people are sick. Well, you know, talking about sickness, this is a form of mental illness. But then there was the guy who was filing claims for mental insurance drugs, right? For mental drugs to help people with mental illness?
Oh, yes, in lots of them. The people who needed drugs, psychoactive drugs, to help them and to help keep them stable. And this guy was filing all kinds of claims, one after another, millions and millions of dollars. One of the largest such fraud sprees by a psychiatrist in American history.
You did get some buttes this year, didn't you? Wow. Or this is actually 2016. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is taxpayer money that's being looted here. So you just have to be outraged, because this is your money, the money you're paying into the system that's going to this person in false claims.
Do you see a lot of false medical claims? Is this a big area?
Health insurance fraud is the 800-pound gorilla in the living room of insurance scams.
Is that right? Not property fraud as much as health insurance.
Health fraud dwarfs all other forms of insurance fraud by a huge amount, because there's so much money to steal, and in many cases, it's so easy to steal.
Mm. Well, I tell you, I'm glad they've been caught. I hope this is a warning to people out there. If you're thinking about doing it, don't. But now, Jim, there's also that insidious small fraud. People think, oh, I'll lie about this little fender bender. I won't tell my insurance company the truth that I ran into a tree or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, people make up such stories. I'm not that very good at doing that. Those small frauds where people bilk their insurance company out of small amounts, that adds up too. People have to think about that, right? I mean, didn't you all do a study one time that people thought it was okay to defraud their insurance company?
Well, regretfully, too many people do believe that it's okay to scam the insurance companies. The belief is, well, this is a harmless prank. It's just a little white-collar crime that insurance companies won't miss the money. Well, the fact is, insurance companies are watching for you. They have very highly trained investigators and software that can catch these crimes. And guess what? You get caught, you're going to lose your job. Your kids are going to think you're a loser. Your community is going to think you're a loser. You could go to jail. How are you going to support your family? But this is a really big gamble you're taking with your entire life, your family, and your friendships.
Now, do you all want people to report it to you or go to law enforcement if they suspect that somebody's defrauding an insurance company or even been asked to participate in an insurance fraud?
If you suspect a scam, first of all, go to your state fraud bureau. It should have a toll-free fraud hotline that will allow you to report the scam, or you can report it online at their website.
Okay. Do you have a link on your website to that?
The Coalition Against Insurance Fraud has a link to all state fraud bureaus on its website under Report Fraud.
Okay.
It's easy. It has all the information you need to contact the fraud bureau and report the suspected scam.
Okay, and that website again is insurancefraud.org.
Insurancefraud.org.
Yes. And remember, folks, this is a nonprofit organization. They're out there fighting the battle for you. So, Jim, there it is in 2017, and so you're starting to compile your list for next year, probably.
Yes, Shirley, we already have some candidates.
My gosh, already?
They're already out on the streets, almost begging to be shamed in front of their colleagues and the United States in the next Hall of Shame.
That is totally incredible. Well, I mean, I remember we've talked before about people who would sink their boats, and one guy that buried a tractor in a field. And I mean, really, these people, they do get very creative, don't they?
They get creative, but they also get dumb at the same time.
And they get caught. That's the good part about it, right?
You get greedy, and then you get too sloppy, and your scam gets caught.
Yeah. Well, listen, let's hope that we get out there and fight the good fight. And you keep it up, Jim. It's been great having you on the show. Really, really interesting stuff that you all do, and you're really out there fighting for consumers. We appreciate that. Thank you so much. My guest has been Jim Quiggle. He's the communications director of the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. I'm Shirley Rooker. You've been listening to Off Consuming Interest right here on WFED 1500 AM. If you want to get in touch with me, it's Shirley@callforaction.org. That's Shirley@callforaction.org. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.